kids are slaying on Weber's Hill. Remember Weber's Hill? And
yeah.
So the old lady would come out with ashes and put ashes across
the... I don't think so, they couldn't sleep, right?
February 1st, Lester and Arnold Weber are feeding the pheasants. That time there were lots of pheasants around here, and we fed the pheasants in the wintertime. We put a couple of bags of feed on a sled, you know. We just drive out in the country, you know, and throw them off, yeah.
Well, did you, was that cob corn? Or
yeah, cob corn. Yeah.
Yeah.
February 4th, we had a snowstorm, there no buses, no papers. February 14th, roads still closed, no buses. No buses since February 8th. And then the 17th, Johnson Show was started at Arndt's Hall. And February 20th, a coal shortage, all schools were closed, no coal. February 22nd, Lake Michigan is entirely frozen over. And the 26th with the first green bus since February 8th.
What year was that?
1936. Very cold, lots of snow then.
Yeah, we had to stay over in Mayville one night from school.
On the 1st of March, Frank Schuster's funeral at Arndt's Hall. He was buried by the modern woodman. The woodman had the whole funeral, and he was laid out in Arndt's Hall. 1st of March, Martin Ratke took over the Johnson Filling Station. Boy, that changed hands plenty often.
Yeah, they couldn't make
salt
anymore. They
marched the enormous broadcasting from the village hall.
Yeah, we had two lines.
Broadcast election results in the village. The 19th of April, Pastor Behrens made his last sermon today. He must have retired. 22nd of April,
then, didn't he?
Yeah. 22nd of April, they had a fire at Nathan Hazley's house.
Yeah.
And we have one nice picture that I don't know. I think we've had it on the historical site, but the old chemical truck is backed into the driveway.
Right over there, yeah.
And your dad is
on the truck.
On the truck, yeah. That's about the only good picture we have of that chemical truck. I mean, I don't have many more
other pictures. I don't recall any either. I've got pictures of all the other trucks.
When they got that truck new, they tried it out. They put a lot of stuff on the ice down there.
Yeah, down by the post office or whatever.
Yeah, and set it on fire, and they put it off with the chemical.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody was so scared about that acid and stuff like that, and then the guy drank some of the stuff to screw with his Luke's eyes, which pretty well was. But you know, I put all the equipment we took off there and put the tank on that time. I put that all in that little shed back of the village hall, where the toilets were and all that. And then and the big tanks we put out at the end of the road where on the end of Wisconsin Street, the south end, where they stored their manhole covers and junk. And Lawrence Steger sold that whole stuff for junk. Dumped it all. Shut it off, Ralph, it'll get too warm.
There ain't no heat coming.
I don't need it, I'm warm enough.
No, that's okay, Ralph, just leave it alone.
I've been a little cold today. I don't know if I get colder.
Just to get the chill off, but don't shut it off.
Yeah. Now, in 1936, the 6th of June, Norman Frederick laid a wire to the ballpark to broadcast Sunday's game. Then on June the 7th, the wire worked and Lester broadcast the game with Barton. Thresa won 12-4. We have a picture of that.
There's a picture of that too.
Castor Oil Sport Report.
Then the 13th of June 1936, Mother and Dad's Silver Wedding Surprise Party at Arndt's Hall. Frederick took pictures. You took a lot of pictures in the hall that time. We had a picture 1936, Mother and Dad's silver wedding anniversary. So the picture of the whole band. Band is playing, and they're standing in the center of the band, and the band is playing.
Have you got pictures on
you? Yeah.
You got them.
Who was the band, Les? Normie played along with them a little
bit. Yeah, Normie played along with that band, right, yeah.
Who was the band?
Where?
No, the dance band. Who?
Well, I don't know who the dance band. No, I think dance band at that time was Orville Krieger, I think, from Mabel. Someone, Mother's relation, I think. He's the one that engineered that whole surprise party too, I guess.
I don't really remember that. I must have been there, but...
I remember that, yeah.
7th of July is 100 and shade at the bank. And on the 11th, it was 103 at the bank. On the 16th, it was 170 in the shade. Hottest since 1917. Apples baked on the trees. People slept outside. Vandals slept in their basement.
That was in 36.
36, yeah.
Remember by down by Zastro's, and they put Hannon's bed down on the back porch there.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, it was a miserable weather.
The 26th of July, 1936, Clara Bandle is 44 years young today. I was at 44th birthday. And the 19th of August, they are drilling the well by Hugo Zastros. I remember that real well. My mother put pictures through the top of the window where Irvin Schmidt is drilling a well.
Yeah, that should still be there.
Yeah. 25th of August, the Baker Canning Company started the first corn pack. See, you can't pee, but that's the first corn.
Yeah, that was the first corn pack.
The August the 30th, Theresa Band got first prize at Tri-County Band Convention in Ellington. September 28th is October 6th, Governor La Follette spoke at the Arntz Hall. And October 20th, the Ed Bielik Home and Tavern burned down.
So you're talking about
morning. Yeah, I remember.
Burned down. Yeah. Now, for some reason, I belonged to the fire department at that time already. For some reason, I did not go to the fire. I don't know why. My dad went, I know. And then we went over by your house, and we went up in your attic, and through that north window in your attic,
yeah.
And we could see the fire.
See the fire over there.
Yeah, because I remember us kids, we were up in the attic looking at the fire. 1930, October 27, Baker, Bandle, and Lamers were arrested for shooting pheasant after 5 p.m. They were fined $50. I remember your dad could never... Oh, your dad...
What were they arrested for?
Shooting
pheasant
hours.
After 5 p.m. The three of them were pheasant hunting, and they saw a pheasant go up. Now, I don't know what time it was, but they shot the pheasant yet, and there was a warden there watching him.
Who were the guys that were arrested?
Bob Baker, Fred Bandle, and Ted Lamers.
Is that right?
Yeah, they were out.
I bet your pa never lived that down, huh?
Oh, he was huge.
3rd of November, Clarence Justman was elected Dodge County Treasurer. And the 5th of November, there's a medicine show at Arntz Hall. This 22nd of November, the Lamira Overhead is completed. Remember those were the Fallout roller coasters?
Yeah. They solved the problem. Yeah. What are you going to do?
The 24th of November, the game wardens are stopping cars by Arntz Corner looking for venison. I remember that. They're stopping all the cars, going through the trunks and everything, looking for venison. The game wardens were there. Must have been. They thought they were going to... December the 12th, Lester and Frederick put up a wind charger by George Bix.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? Yeah. I just barely remember that.
Yeah, we put it on the south end of the main building there.
South end.
They had a Zenith console like this.
Yeah.
And it ran off a 6-volt battery. And we put up a regular, and it was called wind charger.
Yeah.
Had a two big blades, two little balancers on the side, and it had a big brake. Stop it. It was charging real good when we left there.
Yeah. More of them had radio chargers. Hennings had one out here.
Oh, yeah. But you know, that was the only place at Vernon Beck's there, they had acetylene lights. And it was the only place I ever saw acetylene lights. Now, our house over there, where we are, that had gas lights. But it wasn't acetylene. They put something like benzene in a tank, and it would kind of mix with the air, and it would come up, and they had cool mantles on there. But these acetylene lights did not have mantles. They had two little jets impinged together, and that made a kind of a Y-shaped plane, real white. The generator was out in the thing, because acetylene gas, if it gets over 15 bonds of pressure, it explodes. They had some of them, too.
I know how George Bix.
Put carbide in there, and the water would get bit.
George Bix said we were there one night, and the lights were getting kind of dim. See, yeah, I gotta recharge that thing. You know, I gotta recharge that thing. They had a big tank out there someplace, and they put something in there.
Well, the acetylene lights burn with carbide.
Yeah.
They put carbide in there, and the water dripped on the carbide that made acetylene.
Yeah.
Still do it today now in welding shops. But then the these other ones, they put a highly volatile material. They always said it was benzene. I don't know what it was. Because my grandfather, I can remember him still running that gas plant. They had a gas stove when he was living downstairs. And he used it just for the gas stove. But what I was going to say is, I can go there. Oh, I think that's that thing that's turning and blinking. Anyhow, that's enough, Ralph. Turn it on.
Many.
Now it's coming. Turn it off. Turn it down. Just take the chill off.
Yeah. You know that, well, you had one of them gas plants, too, over in the funeral.
Yeah, funeral. All those pipes were in there.
Yeah.
Yet, yeah.
And,
well, even at all the mechanism, all these big weights were all down in the basement.
Well, they were here too until World War II, and then I'm very donated them to the scrapyards.
Yeah, here's the 1937 now. The sleet storm, the wires are all down. Norman is driving his ice boat on the streets. No, I barely remember that.
Yeah.
It was all over, about a half inch ice, or an inch ice over all the streets that rained.
And all the wires went down.
All the wires went down, yeah.
Myra didn't have phones for a long time.
And the 17th of January, 1937, the shop is full of people wanting to play over the radio. They came from Lamira, St. Killian, Mabel, Ellington, and Byron. Yeah, that's what you were broadcasting.
Yeah, we had a lot of those things.
And the 23rd of January, Ed Gielick went to the House of Correction for 6 months. See, that's the time he had all them making all those booze out there, and they were raiding him left and right. He finally caught him, and I remember when Ed Gilly come back, he says, that's the best 6 months of his life he ever had. He said he didn't have to work, and the best food you get.
Well, you know, 1937. Well, that could have been in there. Because, you know, Torby was telling that story. Koch had a big Kissel. He traded it to Traube for a Buick, or he traded in when he bought a Buick from Traube. So. And Traube, of course, he was always with the Gielicks and all that, so he let him use his Kissel to haul booze. See.
Yeah.
And he said one night, middle of the night, one of the boogers were going to come pounding on his door and said, the feds got the Kissel. So he reported it stolen the next day again, so he lost the Kissel.
I remember it was in a paper
that
those Ignat boogers, they put in different names when they were arrested.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
They didn't have a driver's license or stuff to check on them.
On 1937, February 4th, Robert Lurkey is in the Johnson filling station. But they change plenty often.
Yeah.
In the 6th, the German band got first prize at a masquerade in Arns Hall. They had a masquerade every year.
Yeah.
So February 21st of February, the ice is out. And Highway 28 is closed over the marsh, 2 feet of water on the road. That's quite a big spring floods that thing. 22nd, the fire company is pumping out basements. I barely remember that. And then March the 25th, 1937, a man from the Federal Communications Commission was here. And Norman was broadcasting. Complaints were from the Milwaukee radio stations. Les had to sign a paper before the notary public over by the bank by Fred Bandlow. And I'll never forget that. Your dad almost crucified the guy there, see. And your dad didn't come out from behind the cage there and he says, I'm looking at those. They aren't nobody's business. And I tried to tell him, yeah, but that air isn't free. That air isn't free, see. He says, no, they get a license, they can broadcast all they want to, or shortwave or something. Yeah, I remember he came in the store and says, are you Norman Beck? I says, no, I'm Lester Beck. And first my dad went in the store when a guy came in, see, and he asked for Norman Beck, see. Dad says, no, he says, my dad from the shop. He said, quick, you go in, see, out in the shop. So I went in, see. And then he said, you're Norman Beck? I says, no, but see, he's my brother. You have a radio station, you're broadcasting, aren't you? See, what could I say?
Yeah, yeah.
He says, yeah, he says, there's complaints in. He says, have you got that station around here? And I said, in the basement. So I took him down where we were, took him back there, see, and he looked over him. Oh, he said, you got quite elaborate stuff here. He says, going on. I said, well, you got about three or four deliminators.
Yeah,
and
stuff. Yeah.
How are you?
Three deliminators.
And he said, well, I tell you what you want to do. See, your brother isn't here. I want you to take all the tubes out of the set. So I had to open the thing and I took all the tubes out and laid them on the table. Everything, he said, don't break anything, just lay all the tubes, everything on the thing. So he says, now I don't ever want you or your brother to put them back in there again, but to do that I have to take you over to the bank, the notary public, you have to sign a paper that you aren't going to do it again. See? That's how he went to the bank, and then your dad was a notary public, see?
Is that how it was?
Yeah,
yeah. That was the end of it. But I know my dad had wanted Norm to quit for a long time, right? Because he was getting cards from way up north.
Yeah,
the people were sending cards all over.
He'd get a stack of cards every week.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, people write in. They enjoyed his program, so, you know, all over. And they were way up Arshkarsh and Nina Manash and all over there, he was getting cards.
He was carrying out. Yeah. You couldn't believe it.
That's where Rosie played, huh?
Well, every week you'd hook on another eliminator.
Well, yeah, but that was still only about 300 volts, you know. I mean, that isn't a heck of a lot. And there was only a 10 oscillator and a 10 modulator.
Yeah.
And the and then, of course, we had a 5-watt amplifier driving the modulator, but
no, I never heard who reported or nothing, but I got an idea. They got the neighbor maybe at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think they probably got him first, and he probably said it's Norman Beck over here or something like that. Because they got him the same day that he got Norman. I don't think they were actually interfering with the Milwaukee stations. I mean, but you weren't on the same wavelength or nothing like that. I mean,
we always, every Sunday morning or when we were going to start up there, Norm would take the best set you had in the store and he'd tune about 940 or somewhere in there and see if he could find a real clear channel. And then we'd go down the basement and tune the transmitter to that channel.
Oh, where there was nobody broadcasting.
Nobody broadcasting, so we had a clear shot. And we didn't interfere with it.
1937, the 9th of May, the baseball team and the band marched to the ball diamond. The band played in the stand at the park. The rest of it finally played 13. But that's the only time I remember the band playing up in that stand.
Yeah, I know. I was there. But the ballpark was on the other end yet, and they could hardly hear it, you know. And the pitcher said, the sound don't go out of there.
No.
After that, he wouldn't play there anymore.
No. I mean, it was not. He made for a bandstand. I mean, it's, Memorial Day Parade night, 1 p.m., the band, firemen, and children all march for that. They get every Memorial Day now. Then the June the 15th, 1937, first band concert of the year. It was held down, draw for prizes donated by the businessmen. First prize, 5, second, it's 3. And they did that for quite a while. They were on Tuesday evenings. And although they weren't, they got these cards to the businessmen, didn't they?
Five,
you signed your name, you dropped it in there, and then they had those drawings there. Okay. And the 17th of June, Les bought an Elta motor from Adam Buster for $20, 9/10 horsepower. I wrote it back here, and it's a Schieffer motor.
Yeah.
In 1937, that was.
Well, I got mine started, but there's still so much rust in the tank, it collects on the screen all the time. I got it.
2nd of July, Bill Krieger is back in the Empire Hotel. He had been in Iron Ridge. He came back, but then, in 37, I think, then he stayed in there a couple of
times. Yeah, I remember before. He was down a year or two.
21st of July, Andrew Greiner's home was badly damaged by fire. I remember that too, when the fire department went out there.
That was when, 50?
He carried all the furniture out of the house.
37, yeah, that was the first fire, yeah.
Yeah, first.
And they had a paraffin fire.
Yeah.
There's some paraffin caught fire on the stool.
And 37, also the firemen, the carpenters are building John Beck's house up there next to the filling station. Then August the 7th, Louis Beck cut his hand filling acid the bottles in the village hall, a chemical fire truck. Now, I remember that. He was putting acid in there, you know, he was going to put the cork on it, press it on good and tighten the bottle broke, and the hand, he was in the hospital quite a while.
That was a mess with that sulfuric acid.
He almost lost his arm that time.
Is that right? I can't remember.
Sulfuric acid, man.
August the 8th, about 20 men are building a dam down by the Weber farm, Sportsman Dam. Arnold Weber donated an eighth of beer. I remember that. Gene Frinks.
George Wolf donated
George, and Gene Frinks too. They hauled stones in from out in the country.
Yeah. Old stones.
And I also thought, now how are they going to carry all them stones in there? Hey, like, no, Gene Frinks says. And he went up the road, he backed right in where the bank was on. He backed right down the middle of the river there. He backed
dumped
the truck.
Out,
everything
yeah.
was hard there, you know. And he just dumped his trucks and he drove out that way.
Yeah.
A real solid gravel bottom all the way down. Peaches are 99 cents a box. In September 18th, Art Manla bought the stock from Ed Olson. Hardware store will open a new store. That was 1937. And December 31st, 1930, the Barlow and Lurkey store was robbed. $7 cash and $100 in clothes taken. 1938. Frank Beamer opened a barber shop in the Arndt building there. Remember Frank Beamer in the back end of it?
He was a card.
Yeah.
February 23rd, Gutwell put up a sign on the Juno House, Solomon Juno Homestead, founder of Thursday 1847. Frank Oninger painted it. In 1938, they put that sign up.
Yeah.
March the 9th, farewell party for Sam Schemers at the brewery. He is going to Austria. He brought back a wife.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember they had a party down at Charlie Burns.
I took a picture.
Yeah, I think you took a picture. Yeah.
She said when she came out here, the Dorfman seems so close together. The towns are so white also
not.
In Austria they were run together.
Yeah,
see.
Yeah.
The Dorfensens were white, also none.
Yeah, your German is feeling too, just like mine. I would think, do they talk much German in Switzerland?
Oh, sure. They with an accent.
Yeah.
In the part where Pa comes from, sure. They talk German with an accent.
Let's see. March the 19th. Caucus in the village hall tonight. Remember those caucuses
they
had up
there?
Yeah,
around
there. In March 27, 1938, Lester and Frederick took their boats with motors up on the marsh. They saw hundreds of ducks. It was 60 degrees. Now, I remember that real well.
Beautiful day.
Oh, a beautiful day it was. And the ducks up there. The water was just high enough so you could go all over.
Yeah, we went way up there till there was a log across the river up there. So.
You had a motor too, Fred?
I got one just like us.
Just like it, yeah.
Russ and I went and tried it out here last week. But I had cleaned the gas tank out real good. But there was still such fine dirt in there. And Carl Koss up here at the filling station, he says, that gas turns to dirt in time, you know. But it's a steel tank, and it must have had rust enough in there. And it would get in the screen, and the float would come up in the carburetor, and I could run maybe half a block, and then used up that much gas, and then have to wait again for it to come up. So we more or less drifted down from the swimming wall. We tied it up down by Lucas. Of course, Russ had a bail. He didn't see much of it. It's an old wooden boat, and it leaks like hell.
Remember that boat they had that was square on the boat front end? It was square.
It's down next to Lucas's. It's tied up down there. We're going to take it out. I would have done it today. I thought it was supposed to be a nice day today.
Mrs. Kendall sold her tavern to John Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
She got ripped off that time. Like $25 a month he paid.
Yeah.
And then when he moved out, he just moved out.
Yeah.
She. The Nora is still living someplace down in
yeah.
Guanigo or someplace.
I run into that little Faith, you know, that redheaded girl. Faith.
Oh,
Kendall, yeah. I guess was her name.
Yeah. Or was it something? Was it Kendall?
I don't know if it was a Kendall.
Because I know he had buttons made with her picture on.
She was cute as a button. And,
real red hair.
Yeah. When, I think when Junior was down there one time, I went in there to, not to get drink anything, but to tell Junior something about the fire company or whatever it was. And he said, "Do you remember her?" And I guess it was Mrs. Campbell was there.
Yeah.
And then, or either way, I said, "Yeah, I often wonder what happened to that little redheaded Faith. See, well, she's right there." She's, of course, grown up, you know.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah.
The little North, she was always a nice girl.
Yeah, she was very nice.
The 12th of April, 1938, John Zanis is feeding Hook's garden. Usually Pete Osenbar always used to, years ago, but that was the first sign of spring.
Yeah.
And you know, their garden was just south of the shed there.
Yeah.
And it was real early, you know, that the frost would go out in a hurry there. And that was one of the first gardens in town here. You know, I would spade that whole garden there. April the 14th, people are cutting their lawns. They had early spring that year. The 22nd, Reuben Schuster left today to play baseball for Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Remember, he had a tryout down there.
Yeah, he had to come back. Yeah. His pa couldn't get along with all of them. Too bad.
Yeah.
Boys, 7th of May, 1938, the boys bought their new 1938 Plymouth. Paid $850. That was fully equipped.
Yeah.
Spotlighted that on. Man. With fog lights. No, not at all. $850.
Yeah.
May 18th of May, 1938, five ladies cleaned the Juno house. Mrs. Leo Zimmel and Ann Weiland got paid. Mrs. Langenfeld, Mrs. Pandel, Mrs. Beck worked for nothing.
That figures.
And then the 18th of May, there was a barn dance at Edgar Miller Farm, or Edgar Krieger Farm. Edgar Krieger's Farm. Remember those barn dances you had out there? And then over there.
No, I never got there.
Yeah, we went out there quite, not always, but pretty often. It's right on it's a watch club was always there. Fred Brightoff was always there. I mean, he sold tickets, I guess.
Easy played, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, no watch club is push and pull. It's
Almond Geezy's dead.
Yeah.
Richard
Geezy, yeah.
See, and he always chewed, and then when he couldn't spit, what did they call him, the farmhands or something, band?
Yeah. Today, 21st of May, today is the day of dedication of Solomon Juno, bronze marker, fastened to the rock. It was unveiled by great-great-granddaughter Nancy Wachman. Open house was held, many people there. That's when they put that, dedicated that marker on that stone.
Well, the Legion still had it then, though. No, they weren't.
The Legion had it until after the war.
Yeah.
What year are you reading there now, Les?
1938.
Oh, after the war, the Legion still had meetings there.
1938, I think that time, remember they had all these guys in welfare in there.
Yeah, Lawrence Steger and them lived there once, but
I know.
I think it was empty at that time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I know your mother and my mother wouldn't have gone up there and cleaned.
Yeah.
But they probably cleaned up for the dedication. But anyway,
just think how they handled welfare in those days.
Yeah.
One guy came up by our spot and said, "I ain't got no wood for my stove." He said, "Go up and get the PWA axe and go down and cut those willows down."
Yeah.
Well, that's like Lawrence Steger lived in a while. Like Lawrence Steger and all them kids said, they lived there for a whole year. They lived up there. And then Elmer Geezy's relatives from up north, they didn't have work up there, so they all came down to Elmer and he didn't know what to do with them. Elmer couldn't take care of them, so they put them all in the and I know that one time they came down, my dad was village president at that time, see. Lady, you know, she complains of there's bed bugs up in her. She can't put her baby, and the baby was all bitful, you know. And my dad went up there with a flip cam. I went along, see, and he took some flip and he sprayed it on the big dog. He said, "Ooh, did them big bugs come out from in between the
wicker.
Oh, did those bugs come out of here?" We set the baby bug outside, and I got a couple more cans to clean off, and we sprayed that book. I don't know, we got them all.
Just thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doc Pete used to see that. He'd go out these farms some places, and he'd turn the bed back to look at the patients, you know, on the bed who was going to run, you know.
16th of June, the Sportsman's Club got 250-day-old chicks. John Beck takes care of them at his old mink pens. He gets 10 cents for each bird to raise them. You know what, he had his mink pens up there?
In back of the store.
He raised minks there for 30 years. 2nd of July, Charlie Bernard is back in the old tavern again. And here, July 10th, 1938, now I remember that well. They had a church picnic in Beck's Park. They sang the music of the Thresa band. The choir and the church also sang, but I remember they had that band, the Schmiedegays and Pitchler and August Loon, and then they all belonged to church. Yeah. They got a band together and they played those church songs out of the hymnal. They played them, and the congregation sat out in the woods and sang them.
Did that sound nice?
Oh boy,
did that sound nice? Sure, it was there.
Yeah, did that sound nice? 1938, July 17th, then I worked in the brewery area. Lester's Day to stay in the brewery for Sunday customers. The eighths cost $1.80 and the cases $1.35.
Yeah, if they only did.
And then the 31st, we had a choir picnic in Griner's Woods. I remember that. I mean, the day before, we had to go out there and pick up all the cow platters, you know, and put them, take them away. And then Andrew Griner wouldn't leave his cows in the woods there for a couple of days before that. See, so they weren't real soft ones, they were all hard ones. Yeah. The brewery workers, they had the picnics in Griner's Woods too. I remember we had pictures of that.
Then
October 23rd, do you remember this, Ralph? Les, Walter, Alphonse, Ralph, and Aaron Loon went to the Packer game in Green Bay.
Remember that. Got the tickets from...
Wallace had it.
Wallace got the tickets.
My cousin up there. He got
some
the
$2 for a ticket, $2.30 on a 20-yard line.
And then 3rd of November, the WIBU players were at Arntz Hall. They used to come to WIBU, that was a radio station, Poinet. And they used to come around.
So we went to the tavern after the game, and I suppose those guys drank beer, and they asked, "What do you want?" I said, "I want a squirt." And he brought me a shot. He didn't know what a squirt was.
On 21st of November, 1938, Roosevelt Schuster bought the Midway Hotel for $4,500. $4,500. And then the 28th, Norman joined the church choir. 38, I joined in 1930. And the German band played at the grand opening of the Hetzel Tavern in Hartford. He sold Pioneer beer down there. See?
That was a good account. They sell the beer down there. He was lame, that guy.
Here we got it now, 1938, December 6th. Legion members and their families had the first meeting in the Juno House since it was fixed up.
Where did they meet before that, Les? In the homes?
They went from house to house, home to home, yeah. That's where they had to meet. They went from home to home. December 20th, Norman and Frederick put up skating rights. Remember you put them up on a Charlie Brunner site there?
We got to go down there and hook in there. And that old wire from the Beck's Park.
Yeah.
That Joe Gunwood gave us that.
Yeah.
It was bare half the way. We had to kind of stagger it so it wouldn't short.
Where did you get the current from? Bernard's?
Bernard's, yeah.
Did you have to pay him then?
Well, I think the village paid.
The village paid him a little bit, I guess.
down by the shack, there was the lamps from the park too.
Yeah.
For the golf course.
Oh.
That's the one that we don't have no pictures at all of that golf course. But
I've never
Nobody has pictures of that. I remember Pete Lyon took, your dad used to come down and play. But no one took any pictures that I ever saw of that.
No, I never saw one.
But they had the lamp from the park there too.
They did, yeah.
January 14th, 1939, Wisconsin News No More, now Milwaukee Sentinel. 1939, they changed the name from Wisconsin News to Milwaukee Sentinel.
Did you guys always get the Sentinel list, your pa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. February 7th, 1939, the roof fire at Weisenberg's house from chimney sparks. Now, I remember that too.
I remember that too.
Weisenberg's house. February the 9th. 2 days later, ice storm. All the trees were down, no lights. The 14th of April, 1939, the male chorus sang for the first time at the public school entertainment in Arns Hall. The members were Walter Beck, Dr. Beagle, Norman, Harris Strigge, Ed Lytle, and Lester. That's when we started our quartet there. On the 21st, Mr. Henry Lentz were married 65 years today. Lentz, I was in there. Fishing season opened today. Dad had 3 pickles, 5.5 pounds, 2¾ pounds, and 2.5 pounds. First day. Then 39, they also had free movies at business places. July 15th, 1939. Frederick Pando is taking pictures of anybody in the village hall.
53 years ago.
Yeah, 1939. July 15th. Then July 25th, Walter Klicks, age 51, shot his wife and son. He lit the house and he shot himself at the station. He was a Soo Line operator. The house burned down. I remember that well. I belong to Friday, and I ran around. Your dad told me to run around the building. He told me to get something behind the building, something. I walked down, I stumbled over something. I got up, and I looked in there. It was him laying there. See? So I quick down, and I told your dad about it, and your dad quick came up there. And then I think it dawned on him first that there was someone in the house.
Yeah.
And then Alvin Speck and your dad went in the house.
Yeah,
and
the front end, I remember the front there.
Went through the window. Remember your pa.
Yeah. And then it dawned after that he was laying there. And the gun was laying next to him, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
He was laying on the ground there. August 20, 1939, Les and Dad helped prepare the Sportsman Dam. The figures I thought my dad used to watch out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Dodge County is oiling the streets in town again. Here, September 4th, 1939, Lester and Frederick went gopher shooting.
Yeah, we shot a lot of gopher
shooting.
I wouldn't do it again. I haven't shot any since.
Now, here's a good one here. September 10th, 1939, Norman and Frederick tied a camera to a large kite and took pictures from high in the sky.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Oh, yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
I had a very poor print that Norm threw out, and I picked it up when he was cleaning out his darkroom there, moving away there. And I don't know what happened to it.
How did you make the camera go up?
With a punk. We used a punk, for a firecracker punk. And we'd tie it to the trip string, and when the punk burned down, they'd burn the string off and trip the shutter. You never knew exactly when it went.
I remember that, but I don't remember ever you find it, but I remember trying
to
get the
kite. Yeah, we threw it from down there behind the cheese factory.
Trying to get the kite up,
it was a big one.
Yeah.
Norman built it. Yeah, very big kite.
But I remember it, the kite, and that camera was swinging on the bottom, and it was swinging back and forth. On September the 12th, all the survey, the barber bought William Zimmel House on Main Street, $1,500.
That was a good buy for him. That was a nice barber shop.
14th, 1939, the Northside Bakery truck, that was Milosevic, a I stopped at the Coke store and hard rolls were 15 cents a dozen and sweet rolls were 20 cents a dozen. The 26th of October, 1939, the village made a gravel sidewalk from the deeper road to the cemetery. The gravel path they made. November the 9th, Ball of Survey is put in a new front in his barbershop. 15th, the Legion had a card bar in the village hall and the Juno house. Ball of Survey opened the barbershop. Rainier Wagner was the first customer and got a free haircut.
That's pretty good.
He waited outside the door, he opened up and got a free haircut. The Legion is trimming the two trees by the Juno house, 80 lights on each tree. Now those were those two big trees out in front of it. On December 11th, well, this is 1939, party at the shack. Eugene Greiner had too much, lost one shoe, found sleeping by Forstner's.
You know, Jimmy found that shoe after a while, and he was supposed to get a reward, you know, and he found it a couple of days later.
I wasn't there, but I remember that, and at the talk I went on that.
Were you in service then, Les?
Huh?
Where were you?
I don't know. Just what my mother has in 1939. December 11th, it's been pretty cold in here. Here's another good one. December 29th, now it's also 1939. Norman Frederick took the ice boat out up the marsh. The back runner broke. Fred walked home.
Yeah, he couldn't put any weight on it then. Yeah. I guess he could drive it.
He could drive it. Fred walked home.
When would your ma write that? In the evening hours?
Yeah, or she had it laying on a refrigerator or something. Even I wrote a lot of this stuff in there too. I mean, she says, when you got anything, just write it in. She had one of these books from Arnold Weber, the appointment book, see. And she had a whole page, or was a half a page for a day, and the books were pretty big. So you could write a lot of stuff in. So I would take the book too, and I would write something in it too. 1940, now the January 14th, the snowstorm, all the roads were closed, the hotels were full again that time. The 16th of January, 1940, Willard Schuster is hauling the snow out in front of business places for 50 cents a load. Well, I remember that he had a truck with big boxes on, and Ruben and Charlie and them guys that worked for Schuster, you know. They were taking snow, they were chopping it off in blocks, about this big, so it was hard, see? They would throw it up there like that, and he 50 cents a load, you're hauling it up. And the 22nd of January, the county plows are opening the village streets. They have the county plows in here that open up the village streets. And January 29th, Frederick showed movies he made. What kind of movies were those?
February 29th.
1940.
Well, we had...
Now, those ads and the one you made out for the
balloons
out there. You must have had some movies that...
40? Yeah, well, that could have been 40. 1940. No, that could have been in 1940, yeah. Because it was made between my junior and senior year, and I graduated in 41 from Madison. Yeah. And we're running a little on tape there, too.
Koch had the Buick? You had the Buick in that movie?
Yeah, we had the Koch Buick, 39. Yeah, 39. We
got
a
40. And then, 3rd of February, 1940, Bill Brodhagen was running the Midway Hotel. He had a lot of guys running.
Yeah.
And then the 13th of March, Charlie Bernard sold the tavern to Max Heppner for $5,000. So he sold it right after that.
He must have got it back then, anyway.
Yeah. 15th of March, Thresa Station won't be called North Pole. See?
Oh, yeah.
Scheibig. 1940. April the 2nd, Les got 120 votes for Justice of the Peace.
Did you marry anybody else?
I never swore. Gerhard Schrage swore in that time. He married Theo Pfaff, didn't he?
And the guy on the station, Rosenthal's daughter, Ivor, Charlie Ivor.
Ivor, yeah.
Handlebar Charlie. Remember him?
Just vaguely, yeah.
Charlie Eifert, yeah. And the 28th of April, Les is helping Sam Shamers make a rock garden at the brewery. Well, that's about the same place where almost where he's got his old wagon sitting down
there.
Right around that.
I got some pictures of that too.
Yeah. On the 16th of May, 1940, they are taking down the bank scale and moving it to the Ricker Slaughterhouse.
Wow.
Remember that scale that was there?
I got the beam.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy gave it to me after he tore it down.
He was building his house. 1940, they set that up at the Ricker House where Jimmy is living now. 1940, they put it up down there.
Ross used to play hide and seek.
That used to be always the goal. I mean,
you had to touch it.
Remember when they used to come out to the bank and they used to punch the thing and then the pawns were on there? How much did they charge, a quarter for something?
I don't know.
Well, I remember your dad come out of the bank and he'd set the scale and he'd look for all the wheels around on the thing and he'd rest right.
The thing wasn't very big.
And then in the winter time, they had a saw, a yardstick there. They'd walk around the yardstick all the way around to make sure that there was ice in there.
Yeah.
28th of May, the mill owned by William Younger was sold at sheriff's sale to Peter Hartman, who was tear it down about 1948 before that mill.
40.
40, yeah, before the mill.
Well, we got all those dates because we've got some pictures and we don't have all the information, I don't think.
Yeah.
I've got a picture of that sheriff's sale.
Yeah.
There goes one. Here's last.
We won't get through this all today, yeah.
is that you got another book beyond that?
Oh, another book before this. We only went 10 years first.
Only through 10 years,
no,
huh?
Not 9 years. Only.
Fred, would you like another drink?
No, thanks, that's enough.
You want to start another one or come back some other time?
I think we'll have another shot at it, huh? It's getting to be 9 o'clock.
You want to get another one or? We can leave it go to Fritz.
Well, it's up to you guys.
No, I mean, no. It'll take the Ralph's got to get up in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He gets up early.